We are in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, and God willing, we'll do chapter 2. This is a new book. Ezekiel is the priest, prophet, and God has called him. He is not in Israel. He is in the Babylon. So we are going to study. Let's read the verse 1.
Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance, they had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels.
Now here we see, Ezekiel is in the Kebar River, is in Babylon, and God has called him to preach to these people. And now when he is at this river and looking, and he sees some kind of chariot, but it's a different kinds of chariot. He saw four creatures, and each creature, they had four faces. He said he saw them like a man. That means the figure of man, but at the same time, they had the wings. They had two wings stretching out to touching each other, and two wings covering their bodies. And now these four creatures, like a front face, is looked like a man's face. The right hand side is the lion face. The left hand side is the ox face. And the back of their head is the eagle face. So now these are four creatures facing, I believe, different side. Means if one facing north, one facing south, one facing east, one facing west. So four corners they are facing. Now these creatures are touching each other, and together. The same time, he says their feet were straight, and not only that, end of their feet, they looked like ox feet. And those feet were blazing like brass, shining, fiery brass. He says, I saw them, they were going straight, running straight, going straight, coming back. That means one person's face is that way, so they're running. One face person's like this, so they're running this way. One person goes this way, and other person's goes. So they can go this way, they can go this way, they can go this way, they can go that way. So we can see when they're running, they can form like a cross. They cannot turn around. They cannot move. They cannot go to different direction. And everyone listens to the each and everyone. But they said, it has the right-hand side of each and every creature. There was a wheel. That wheel was so high, higher than those creatures. Now, if these creatures are like angels, they call cherubims, they have like a figure of man, and they have also hands. They had under the wings, they had the hands of man. So there are four wings, four hands. And both wings are touching to each other. So you can see this like a square. If I'm here touching some and some other person there, one person here, one person here. So it looks like an ark of the covenant. And then said there was a fire burning inside when there's corner. I don't know it was close or something, but it was like a fire burning, and it was like a coming out of these cherubims where they're standing. And then it says their spirit was in the wheel. The wheel was guiding them. And they said there was a wheel, big wheel, and inside there was another wheel. And I was thinking, if you look at any wheel, bicycle wheel, car wheel, every wheel, they have wheel, and under that there is another wheel. Otherwise, the wheel will not work. Because one wheel has all kinds of spokes and rods, and then there is another wheel, and then that wheel, you put in the rod and that works. And so God was giving this Ezekiel an idea how all these four beings or four creatures works together in harmony, and they are not moving with their own, but he says where the Spirit wants to take them, they will go. And they will not turn around, but they will go straight. And they were in the harmony. If somebody goes to north, everybody goes to north. Somebody wants to go south, everybody goes to south. If somebody wants to go east, everybody goes to east. Somebody wants to go west, everybody goes to west. So God was showing there is a unity, togetherness, and they were joined together. And when they lifted up, the wheels will go up with them. And they will be in the middle of the heaven. Now he says, he saw heavens open. That means this heaven and another heaven. And he saw the throne of God in heaven. Read up.
When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings.
When they were going up, or going forward or backward, their wings will make a lot of noise. And he says that noise sounded like a three ways. He says like a Almighty God's voice, or the like a noise of the chariots, or the warriors. So the wings, First of all, he saw the wind coming from north. And the wind was not ordinary, that wind was like a circling. And then when he was looking in the wind, he saw all these creatures. And when he looked above, then he saw these creatures can go up to the high, to the heavens. And then he says, on the top of them, he saw the heaven opens, and then he sees the throne of God. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 25.
And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward. And from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about.
He says when he saw the heaven open, and the creatures went up, and about them he saw another heaven open. And then he saw the throne. And then he says he saw someone sitting on the throne like a man. But he could not recognize the face. He says, below from his waist, there was a completely fiery red and yellow color blooming. And up, also the same. So he could not see the face of the person, but he knew this is like a figure of a person. So he saw all these things in heaven. Now, each and every person, like Isaiah saw the vision. If you see, go to the Isaiah chapter 6 and read first three verses.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, as each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Okay. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Okay, now Isaiah saw, and he saw they have six wings. But when this Ezekiel saw, only four wings. So there are different kinds of angels and different kinds of cherubim and seraphim. So they are all glorious. And this one saying, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. If you read a little bit further, Isaiah was so scared. He said he saw the vision of God. So he was almost fainting. So the one cherub took the fire of coal from the altar and put it on his lips. And then he was cleansed. So here we see Ezekiel is seeing the vision. He saw four creatures, and each creature had the four faces. But when you see in the Revelation, there are also four creatures John saw, but see and compare with this. Just go to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, starting from verse 1 to 11, almost whole chapter.
After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald.
Now see, he sees the figure, but he cannot recognize the figure. He sees all these diamond kind of precious things shining on the throne, but he could not recognize the face. Okay.
And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind.
Now, just compare this beast or the creatures or beings. Now, these are also there four. And we saw in front of the throne, and here we see these four creatures and see their faces. Please read.
And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
These cherubims, or these angels, or these creatures, they have six wings, and they have, each creature has one face. Face of man, face of lion, face of ox, and face of eagle. There are four creatures. They are standing in front of the throne. And they are full of eyes, all back, front and back. They are full of eyes. And they are standing before the throne of God and saying, Holy, holy, holy unto God. When you're comparing this to this Ezekiel's book, Ezekiel saw these four creatures with four wings. Two wings, they're covering their body. Two wings, they are stretching out to touching each other, and they lift up themselves. And when they say they are lifting up, sound like they are jumping, but he says they were going and the wheels was lifting them up. And it sound like, if you really read that, he says there was a wheel. So sounded like there was only one wheel. But if you keep on reading, he said there was a wheel each and every cherubim's right hand side, means right in front of their faces. And in the wheel there was another wheel, and when the rim of this all circle of the wheel, they were all full of eyes, and they were going everywhere straight and not turning. And this is what he saw. We will be learning more about this, why God showed him, and what is the reason of this cherubims and looking like a fire there, and they have hands there, and they are wings there, and they are doing everything what the Spirit tells them to do, and they just listen to the Spirit and obey God. This is what we say. But if you read in a little bit further, when we come to the chapter 10, these cherubims, or these four creatures, they fly and they go to the Jerusalem, go to the temple, means not inside the temple, above the temple, and they stand. And so we will be learning more. I was thinking, why God was showing him this vision? When he saw the vision, he was almost fainted. He was fainted with the seeing this vision. And then the second chapter we read that God told him to get up, but he was not able to get up because he was so weak. So the word of God said that God put his spirit and then give him a strength, and then he got up. When you read the first chapter, is everything about the cherub, everything there, what they do, and how the throne is set up in heaven, and how the God speaks from heaven, and how these people are joined together in a four, like a cube, looks like an Ark of the Covenant. They go. With the Ark of the Covenant, they were cherubims, and they were covering the Ark. So this sound like that, but this is like a moving Ark, moving wherever God wants to take these cherubims, and then God's presence will be above the cherubims, and God will speak from there. And so I was thinking, why God showed him this? What is the reason? When you look at the cherubims, what they were doing, that's what God was trying to teach him. Chapter 1, 28, okay.
As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake.
Now here, see, he also saw the throne of God, someone sitting on the throne, and on the throne who is sitting, above him there was a rainbow. He saw the rainbow in the book of Revelation, He saw the rainbow in here. Now, sometimes when he say this was the Lord was speaking, and so people will be confusing who was on the throne and who is speaking to him. When you see in the book of Revelation, we didn't read, we just read a few verses, but when you read in the book of Revelation, there was a throne, someone like a figure of person, but John was not able to see the face because everywhere the colors and the diamonds and all these things were blocking his vision. He could not see. And then when a little bit further if you read, then he say, we saw the lamp on the throne. So you can see this bright figure is there and the lamp is there. So that means the throne in the heaven is the throne of God. And so he saw the throne of God and he saw the figure of God. Because at that time, the Christ was not revealed, the Son of God was not revealed to any Old Testament people. Even though they say, I saw the Lord, but the Lord can be said Yahweh or God, because he didn't know who Jesus is. So here we see, he saw the vision of God, he heard the voice of God, and he was so much afraid, he never saw these things in his life, but once he saw this, he got scared. He didn't know why God was showing this, and he fell on his face, and then what happened? He almost fainted. Okay, let's go to the chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, starting from verse 1.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee.
Here this man was falling on his face, maybe scared, maybe praying, but God is saying, I want to talk to you. Get up. So when somebody is talking to you, you have to pay attention. If somebody is talking and you bending down or doing something, I don't know you're listening. So he says, get up and listen to me. So he wanted to see face to face, but God is talking. So now he saw the vision, he saw the God, he saw the rainbow, he saw the throne, he saw all these angelic beings, and now the voice of God is coming. He said already when their wings, they're flying, their wings sound like a Almighty God's voice. So now he was ready to listen to God. And so God says, okay, get up, I want to speak with you. And then they put his spirit in him, so he was strengthened by the Spirit of God. Sometimes we are weak, we don't have strength, we don't know what to do. If you start speaking in tongue, praising God and glorifying God, you will be energized, you will feel the power of God, you will feel the Spirit of God, and you can feel like you are lifted up to heavenly places. The first time when I filled with the Holy Spirit, I was like a lifted up and I saw the light, bright light and things like that. And I was speaking in tongue almost an hour. And when I went out of the meeting and going on the street, and the devil is saying, hey, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I thought, I had the Holy Spirit, I spoke in tongue. But the same time, I had the meeting to go. And when I went to the meeting and I was a little late, so I took my shoes off and I went slowly and sat there, and there was a man praying, and I was sitting, my elbow touched to his elbow, and that man started prophesying. He says, somebody is touching me. That person is the man of God and a full of the Holy Spirit. I said, thank you, Jesus. I know now that you have given me the Holy Spirit. The point I'm making, God gave him his own spirit. And the Old Testament, when we say it's the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God, is not the same like a third person of Trinity. Why? Because the third person of Trinity was not revealed. So they could not have the third person of Trinity. So you read in the first Peter chapter 1, and if you read from verse 11 and 12, you know they had the Spirit of Christ. Please read.
Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
See, here he says, they got the Spirit of Christ, an angel also was looking into, and they said, wow, these people had the Spirit of Christ, but we don't. That's why the Word of God says, God did not send His Son to redeem the angels, but He sent His Son to redeem the mankind. So we are blessed. We are blessed than the Old Testament saints also. In the Old Testament, they were washed by the blood of bulls and goats. We are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They got the Spirit of Christ. But the New Testament, we have the Spirit of Christ, we have the Spirit of Father, we have the Spirit, Holy Spirit. So we are much more blessed. Now, that's not my subject, but if you see, the Word of God says, St. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, who? Jesus Christ. To them He calls the sons of God. When you are sons of God, that means you have to have the Spirit of the sons. And Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, because you received my Son, you have my Son, that's why I'm giving you His Spirit in your spirit, so you could call me Abba Father. So see what happens when you have Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of Christ, and the Father's Spirit comes. And then Jesus says, in a book of St. John chapter 14, I think verse, could you read verse 23 or...
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See what he says? We will come. Jesus Christ says, we will come and make our home in you. Means that God the Father, God the Son, comes to dwell in you. And God says, if you have the Spirit of Christ, I will put my Son's Spirit, so you can call me Abba Father. And if you read in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 8, 9 and 10, it says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. We have the Spirit of Christ, and these people had the Spirit of Christ. So when the Spirit came in this man, he was strengthened by the power of God, and he stood there. Let's read the verse 2. This is book of Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2.
And the Spirit entered into me when He spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and set me upon my feet, that I heard Him that spake unto me. And He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day.
When he saw the vision, after seeing the vision, after putting his spirit in him, then he said, listen, let me tell you something. I am going to send you to the rebellious children of God. They are from the beginning, they are rebellious. Their fathers are rebellious, and they rebel against me all the time, even this very day. So he is saying, these people are now in Babylon. Some of the people are in the Babylon, and some of the people still in Jerusalem. And we just finished the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet prophesying in Jerusalem and Judea, and at the same time, Ezekiel is prophesying in Babylon. Now, some people in the first batch, they were taken, some people, I heard maybe thousands of people. But last time, yesterday, we heard only 4,600 total people. But that's not the one. In the beginning, they took thousands of people. Some of the people went willingly, and there were so many people in Babylon already, including Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and some other people. Now there were so many people already there, so God raised the prophet Ezekiel. And he says, now I want you to tell these people, they are stubborn, they don't listen, their heart is stiff-hearted, not only neck, but their heart is stubborn, and they are not going to listen. And so I was thinking, why God was showing this vision? He's saying, look at these cherubims. They listen to me. In the wheel, they have the spirit, and they have all the eyes all around. So they see everything, they go everywhere, and they obey me. They do not disobey. Each person is listening to each other, and they are in harmony. So God is saying, I showed you these all four creatures, even that they have four different faces. These four different faces, somebody says, why these four different faces? Ezekiel saw the face of a man, face of a lion, face of ox, face of eagle. But in heaven, we saw four different creatures, face of man, face of lion, face of ox, and face of eagle. And there were four different cherub, four different angels, or four different beings. Now, many people are saying these four different creatures has the four different ministry of Christ. Now, if you see, the book of Matthew is written for the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, like say, Lion of Judah, they have sign of Lion of Judah. They had a flag even. Matthew is saying, we saw in heaven like a creature with the face of lion. That's the Lion of Judah. And he tells everyone in the Matthew, book of Matthew, who Jesus is. And he starts with the Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and son of Abraham. Now I was reading in another translation, they said son of Abraham and son of David. This or somebody made a mistake. David didn't come before Abraham. How can he be son of David and then son of Abraham? But the Spirit was telling the Matthew, you are talking about the King David. Jesus Christ comes from the family of David. And the Jesus Christ is coming from the tribe of Judah. And Judah is the Lion of Judah. And so that is what Matthew is trying to show the people, that he is talking about Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of Judah, and he is the one, a Messiah, and he is going to redeem us. Then when you see the Mark is showing everywhere when you read, Mark is showing the humbleness and hard work of Jesus Christ. He was without rest day and night, preaching and nighttime going and going in the mountain without rest, doing the work of God very humbly. So he is saying that face of ox showing the hard work. The bulls are the animal. If you are tame them, they are very hard-working animals. And the Luke is showing the face of man. We see the Luke is trying to say Jesus Christ very compassionate. He goes to people with compassion and love and heals them like he's the spiritual doctor or spiritual person who can comfort them. And he speaks with the wisdom and knowledge of God. So he is talking about presenting Jesus Christ, Son of Man. And then we see the John. John does not say any genealogy. He starts with the Son of God. And so he starts everything spiritual things, heavenly things. And so the people say that the eagle flies high in the air. Almost he goes to the cloud. So they said that's symbolic of the Son of God. Jesus Christ came from heaven, and John represents Jesus is the Son of God. So all these four faces are the four ministry of Jesus Christ. But Ezekiel saw these four creatures together having four faces. But even the chapter 10, if you go, one face disappeared, and I was thinking, what's happening? But God was trying to tell this Ezekiel, three different animals and one man's face. But what's happening, the man face is dominating all other animals' faces. I never saw that they were running where the ox was running, or where the lion was running, or where the eagle was flying. They were going where the man was going, because man is greater than any animals. Man can tame any animals. The man is the greatest living beings God has created. You remember God created Adam, and he said, name everybody, and he named everyone, but he could not find anyone like him. Then God said, okay, I'm going to give you a companion. So you know, God made person, the girl or the lady or his wife, took it from the man. And so the point I'm making, God was showing to Ezekiel, see how the man, even though he is an angel, but the face of man, the hands like man, and he's standing like a man, he runs like a man, he thinks like a man, so he obeys me. And so, but the Israeli people, they don't obey me, they don't listen to me. So God is saying, will you obey me? Will you listen to me? I have shown you the figures of these four creatures, but these four creatures, even though they have four different faces, but they don't get confused, they listen and obey. Okay, Book of Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 3.
And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
Here he's saying several times, I'm sending you to rebellious people. They hear or they don't hear, but I want these people to know they are in foreign land, and God is still with them, and God has still sent the prophet for them, and they cannot just stay in the foreign land and do whatever they want. God has sent the prophet, and they have to listen to me. And so he said, I don't care if they listen or not, but your job to tell them what I'm saying. And so he's preparing him. And if you read a little bit further, he said, don't be afraid of them. Let's read verse 6.
And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house.
Now what he's trying to say, he said, when you go and talk to them, those people are scary. They will scare you. Don't be afraid of them. When you look at their faces, they might be having angry face. They try to scare you. Don't be afraid. And they are like a very vicious, not animal, but like a vicious scorpions and thorns and thistles. They might prick you. They might hurt you. They might try to destroy you. But don't look at their angry face, but just say what I'm trying to tell you. And that message is for us. Sometimes when you want to go and talk to somebody, you said, oh, that person is big officer or always angry and doesn't want to listen, and I cannot minister to that person. When you make up your mind to tell somebody about God, God will prepare the person for you. If they don't listen, that's okay. One time I went to one village and told that person about salvation, water baptism, Holy Spirit. And he heard it and he said, listen, don't ever come to this town and get out of my town. I remember Jesus Christ said, put the dust off your feet and get out of there and I will judge that city. But the point was that whole village in India was Christian. Whole village was Christian. And I was surprised, all Hindu people and one whole village is Christian. There are several villages in India, in Gujarat state, are Christian, whole village Christian. And so I felt a little bit compassion to the other people. This foolish man is saying, don't come to my town, but other Christian people will suffer if I put my dust in this town. So I just walked away. And pretty soon, I saw one of his daughter dying. And I didn't know that was his daughter. One of the girls was sitting in my prayer meeting and she said, you know what, could you come to this village? I said, I'm not going to go there. She said, oh, my sister is very sick and she's dying. Could you come and pray for her? She's 8 years in bed. I said, okay, I'll come. But what is your father's name? She gave me the name. I said, oh, that's the person told me not to come. She said, oh, he will not bother you if you come with me. So I went with her. I prayed for that sister. God healed that girl. It's a long story. God healed that girl. But this man never changed. He never said, thank you for coming to my house. Thank you for praying for my daughter. Thank you, God healed her. He didn't say anything. 6 months later, he got a tumor. He got a big tumor like a size of coconut. And my church was in a city, maybe 22 miles from his village. And there was a hospital very close to my church. You can go walking distance. He tells somebody, call Pastor Peter. When I went there, I saw him crying. And he says, I'm like a fish out of water. And I have no peace. I have so much pain. Tomorrow they are going to surgery, and I am afraid of surgery. I'm a villager. Could you please pray for me? I said, Uncle, I'm going to pray for you. He was at that time my father's age. I touched his stomach and prayed. And after prayer, I said, could you check? No, there is no pain. I said, you know what? If there is no pain, tumor is disappeared. Call the doctor, do more checkup. And he called the doctor, they checked him up, no more tumor, and he went home. So when I came next day to see him, he says, Pastor Peter, please forgive me, come to my town. You are a man of God. The point I'm making, the word of God says, do not be afraid of these people. You tell, because God is going to judge the whole world. God does not want these people to say, I never heard the word of God. So each and every person has the responsibility. Can you imagine this prophet is a man of God, and God showed him how these cherubim, how these angels, they listen to me, they go in a one direction, they don't turn around, they don't go to their own way, but they do whatever the Spirit of God says. I already put the Spirit of God in you, now you better tell these people. Okay, verse 7.
And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious.
He is repeating again and again and again until the Ezekiel understand. He says, these people are rebellious. They are not going to listen to you, but I'm going to send you anyhow. You better go and tell these people what God is saying. Up to now, there is no message. God did not say what to say, but he is just preparing the Ezekiel to how to be strong and go and teach the people or tell them. Verse 8.
But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee.
Now here it's saying, you know, Ezekiel, I know those people are rebellious. I'm sending to the rebellious people, but you should not be rebellious. He's telling, look at those chariots. Look at these angels. They listen to me. They go up. They go down. They go this way. They go that way, like a speed of the lightning. And they listen to me. He says, you should not be rebellious like them. We have high standard. We are the children of God. Sometimes some people, the pastors, they think, oh, I'm just like you. There is no difference between you and me. And then you go with them, you smoke with them, you drink with them, you play with them and go to church and come to the pulpit. Nobody listens to you. Why? Because you are just like them. And I told you one day, the preacher invited me to the church, and I didn't know this man. He heard somewhere about me, and he called me. When I went there, I sat in his office, and he's sitting, and he's talking with me very nicely, and he's looking at the watch. Time is running to preach. He said, "Pastor Peter, could you excuse me?" I said, "What? Can I smoke?" I thought he's kidding. I said, "What? You smoke? You want to smoke?" He said, "Yes. Without smoking, I cannot preach." I said, "Sir, it's your church. You want to smoke? You go ahead. Do whatever you want." And he went to the bathroom. He smoked. After that, he put a spray and clean his mouth and goes and preach. I wanted to get out of that place, but I sat there to see what he's preaching. While he's preaching, what he said, he says, "There is nothing impossible with God." I said, "That's a good message." And he said, "If anybody wants prayer, I'm going to pray for you." People line up, they came, nobody got healed, nobody said, "I got better." And then he said, "Okay, Pastor Peter, come to my office. How do you like my preaching?" I said, "Sir, you are a hypocrite. You know what? You are telling people there is nothing impossible with God. What's wrong with you? Did you ask God to give you grace to give up smoking?" He said, "Oh, that's too hard." I said, "Sir, there is nothing impossible with God. That's what you said." He said, "Pastor Peter, please pray for me." So the point I'm making, the Word of God is saying, if you are a minister, you set an example. Set a good example to your believers. If you are just like them and you just act like them and just do like them and go to the pulpit, nobody is going to get saved. Nobody is going to be blessed. So God is saying, listen, Ezekiel, you don't be rebellious like that rebellious house, and you better listen to me. Verse 9.
"And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein."
Now see, just like that Belshazzar saw the hand, and he was scared, but he said, "I saw hand coming." No person coming, just the hand coming. In that hand, there is a book. God is trying to say, "Ezekiel, look at this. Take this book and see what happened." He opened the book. Let's read the verse 10.
"And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe."
Maybe there was a scroll, and there's a book that was scroll, and he comes and opens the scroll at the hand and said, now he's reading. And in that, he saw all the lamentation, mourning, and woes in that book. So I don't know, maybe a small book just showed him, and he read it. And he says, now you're going to eat this book. But this is not in this chapter. In the chapter 3, you'll be saying, he said to him, eat that book. And I was thinking, God was telling this Ezekiel, I am going to send you to the rebellious people. You better talk to them. When you look at their eyes, they might be angry people. They might be scary people. They might be like coming to bite you, coming to stab you, or coming to kill you. Don't be afraid. Don't run away from them. You boldly say the word of God. And he says, if you don't know how to preach, if you don't know what to say, I am giving you the word. Preacher cannot preach without the word of God. If you want to preach the word of God, what you do? Study the word of God. Read the word of God, and that word of God will come to rescue you the time of need. Some people say, you know, my brain is not working. I'm in my 40s and 50s. I cannot memorize the scripture. I said, don't memorize. I never memorize the scripture. But what you do, you tell the John 3:16 to 100 people. Keep on saying to this person and that person and that person. So what happened? You told 100 people, and even though you forget, the people you talked, they said, hey, this is what you told me. So here the word of God is saying, you know what? I told you to go and preach. You don't know what to preach. I'm giving you. Here is the word. Take it. And then he said, what is in this written? Lamentation, mourning, and woes. This is not a good message. This message, people will be crying, people will be weeping, people will be scared, and that's the kind of dangerous message you're going to give it to people. If you would have said, no, Lord, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. He cannot say that because God showed him, look at those creatures. They are just the creatures. You are the man, real man. You are the man of God. You can do better than those creatures. And so, you will see the next chapter, God tells him to eat the book. But we will learn that next week. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, give us grace to follow you, to preach the word of God without a fear. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us your knowledge and wisdom. And we are going to tell the world what God is all about. You have saved us, healed us, delivered us, and you have set us free. You have given us everything what we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us that holy boldness. The world is dying without God and without Christ. It is our duty to preach the gospel to the dying world. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.